who are candidates to be married in the future?
No, two hands, two my hands.
How is your health today?
Better.
So Lord Chaitanya, he gave the instruction, Grihe Thako, Bone Thako, Sadahare Bole Dako. Whether you're a Grihasta or whether you're in the Vairagi Pat, everyone should chant Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, this is a common thing. Whether grihasta, or whether single, or whether retired, or whether renounced, everyone should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It's not that we only chant when we are in the old age or the young age. We have to also continue chanting through our grihasta period as well. Because, first of all, we don't know how long. Anyone knows how long they're going to live? There was this one devotee who fell off of a building. He's in a coma. What's his name? Sudevi? Thakur. So let's chant Hare Krishna for him, praying that he can regain his consciousness and come back to do his seva. Thakur Das or Thakur?
Thakur.
Thakur. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So it says in the Bhagavatam that this human life has a danger, is dangerous at every step. Padam, padam, yad vipadam, natesham. Every step, we don't know. As we were driving up here, there was a car accident on the road from Dubai to Abu Dhabi. Still we drive reckless sometimes. With glass all over the highway. So all of us are taking risks every day. Even apart from that, sometimes the heart just stops. So at any time we could go back, we don't know. Or maybe we'll live to be old, that could also happen. That was more normal, that everyone lived to be old, but now there's no 100% guarantee. So what we want to do, on every stage throughout our life, we want to be prepared for whatever happens. So that means we should continue to chant, even while we're working, even while we're studying, even while doing all the different, so we should have our spiritual foundation, our spiritual base. Also so that the children are brought up in an environment, in a poribesh, say that poristhiti, which is God-conscious. One devotee in Chennai, he told me, I asked him that, you know, there's all these theories going that you should let the children decide whatever they want, let them do what they want. Even as a child, don't force them or anything. So he said, well, When they're an adult, they can do whatever they want. Then we have no choice. But I don't want that my children, when they grow up, they say that my father, my mother, they knew what was the best for me. But they allowed me, in my foolishness, to make wrong decisions. They didn't give me the best that they knew. I'd rather have them say, my father, my mother gave me the best that they knew. Maybe I don't agree with that now, but at least they gave me whatever the best that they believed in. Hopefully they will agree with it also when they grow up. So part of the duty of Grihasthas to raise children, and Shastra says that the mother and father, they are natural gurus for their children. So they have a responsibility to see that the children don't have to take birth again. Give them an opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead at end of life. Otherwise, the use of again and again, we have to take birth. Being a human being, we can get out in this lifetime. So I was just in Balaram Desh, and they had the National Day. Their National Day is 17th. Your National Day is 2nd? Actually, all those National Days should be given to me, then we can try to fit my visits. Because end of December is a bit tight. I go to usually to Malaysia, but in the beginning, middle some hope. Beginning is actually open, so it's very easy to fix up 2nd of December as a regular. But anyway, the children there, they did all so many cultural programs, and I was busy at that time. So I didn't see. So the next day there was no program. I could have come here straight to Abu Dhabi, but because they arranged for me to stay there, the children said, we want to show you our cultural program. So again, they all dress up, put on their makeup and our costume, and they put on the whole cultural program again for me. Okay. They liked it so much. They were having a good time. Singing, chanting mantras, doing dance. They did a dance drama. They did a ODC dancing and different programs. So they actually had a really good time. So we can make it very interesting and very fun for the children to be Krishna conscious. It's not like we're forced to do something we don't like it. They like to do it. At least develop a taste. So Lord Chaitanya, some grihasthas ask him that what is the duty for a grihastha? At that time, when Lord Chaitanya said, I gave that quote yesterday, Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Achar. We should give up the bad association. This is important for our Vaishnava. Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnava Achar. Watch out. You know, even Varaha Dev and the Bhumi Devi, they had a child who was called Boma Dev. So Boma Dev's next door neighbor was Banasur, who was a great devotee of Shiva, and he had many mystical powers. He had many arms and things. Later the arms were cut down by Krishna, but somehow he influenced Boma Dev to become a demon. So became known as Bomasura, from Bomadeva to Bomasura. His nickname was Narakasur. Famous. So that's what parents can, they can be their best parents, but if they also their friends are asuras, then can also change the children, especially when they're youths. So it's important that also, that's when, I don't know how much that's in the control of the parents, if we can encourage all the parents, encourage their youth to get together and make youth Krishna conscious youth club. Like I'm going from here now to Penang, where we have our Malaysian national headquarters in the place called Subang Jai next to Butterworth. And I showed a picture last night, there were all the youth. So they have, like in England, they have what they call the Pandava Sena, which is mainly the Indian, but there could be others also, but mainly Indians. Indian youths who work for the when they tried to close the temple down, then they were very active to keep the temple open. Over 10,000 to 30,000 marched on Parliament in the UK about 20 years ago to stop them from closing the temple, and was the biggest demonstration that ever happened in England. So the government changed their mind about closing the temple, and we made some alternative arrangement. Because the problem was we had a license as a school. But for the Janmashtami, 60,000 Indians were coming. So the entrance was through a local village called Lechmore Heath. And these villagers complained that 60,000 people coming in our little village of 1,000 people is too much. And this wasn't according to the license given, they're only supposed to be a school. So then we had to make a separate entrance, not going into the village. And like that we worked out some solution. But the youth, they were the one who were very active, not only youth, but mainly the youth who were very active and made it possible. So now in other parts of the world, they also have Pandava Senas. In Malaysia, they want to do something different, so there's some other called Palat Sena, Dhruva Sena, like that, they have different names, I don't know all the names. But like that, so they also put on during the Janmashtami, they let the youth put on the cultural programs and do different projects. It's supposed to be in silent mode. So that also is your lifelong project. Of course, you want to see your children. Now, if you are good devotees, that also give a good example to the children. They see my parents are good devotees, therefore you know, I want to also be a good devotee. It's very inspiring. If you don't chant, if you don't do anything, you tell the kids, you do it. Not much. Won't have so much a big impact. Sometimes in the Western youth they are more rebellious. I don't know, now Indian youth are becoming a little rebellious, but the Western is very rebellious. So if the parents are not practicing, sometimes the youth want to practice. But that's a Maharaj ki. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was mainly grihasthas. In fact, Lord Chaitanya was also grihastha half his life. But he had this prediction that he will become a sannyasi at the last part. Some shastric evidence says because he brings Sita to the forest, therefore to reciprocate with that he had to be banished to the forest also. Lord Chaitanya is the same Ram, same Krishna, just different form. So Sita Devi came as Vishnu Priya. And Ram came as Lord Chaitanya. So when Ram, because of the pressure of some citizens, political correctness, he sent Sita back to the forest, to the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, I think. Then he worshipped a golden form of Sita. So when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, then Sita, who came as Vishnu Priya, worshipped a golden form of Lord Chaitanya. That deity is still said to be visible in Navadvip town. It's called Dameshwar Gauranga. It was made from the original neem tree of where Lord Chaitanya was born under, and is painted golden yellow. But anyway, most of like Nityananda took Grihastha, Advaita was Grihastha, Srivas was Grihastha. So like that. At one point, all the Panchatantra were Grihastha. Most of his followers were Grihasthas. It says when the devotees from Bengal came down to Jagannath Puri, that time they would also travel with their families, with their wives. And that when they came to the town of Jagannath Puri, one time it's mentioned Chaitanya Bhagavat, that they heard the sound of kirtan, ching 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 ching, this thing, and then all of a sudden in front of them came Lord Chaitanya and all of the devotees who are living in Orissa. So immediately the Bengali devotees and their wives, they paid obeisances to Lord Chaitanya when they saw him. And Lord Chaitanya's secretary pointed, Lord Chaitanya, look at there, the devotees from Bengal. So then Lord Chaitanya took all his associates and went to meet the devotees from Bengal. So according to their relationship, like Nityananda's similar age, like Lord Chaitanya, a little older, so that they're like brothers, so they embrace each other. Advaita, the devotees who are older, they were embracing. The ones who are younger, they were paying obeisances. Everybody was crying in ecstasy. At that time it said that the wives, because they couldn't approach Lord Chaitanya because he's sannyasi, they were standing behind with our folded hands. And just seeing Lord Chaitanya, they're like touching his feet in their mind. And they were crying in ecstasy also. So tears of devotion were pouring down from their eyes. So all these grihasthas were actually fully developed in their devotion, their love for Krishna. So being a grihastha, then they had the opportunity to invite Lord Chaitanya. When they were in Jagannath Puri, they took turns who would invite him to come and take prasad. So this was a big thing. Of course, some pulled rank, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Advaita Acharya, they wanted to give more times. But more or less all the grihasthas had an opportunity. How many of you would like to have Lord Chaitanya personally come and visit your house and be the ladies and cook for him? And so that was a kind of pastime that was going on. The Lord personally came, stayed, visited at their house, took prasadam. So So that was one of the opportunities. Of course, we sannyasis, we said to follow in the footsteps. So all the grihasthas are always preparing prasadam for us. I went with Prabhupada once in Mumbai to one devotee's house. He was invited for prasadam. And then Prabhupada, he was saying, you see, we sannyasis are like the children of society, you grihasthas. You take care of the children. So you're taking care of us sannyasis also. And then Prabhupada said, actually I had no appetite, but you cook so nice that it gave me an appetite. So like that. There was some very mellow exchanges between Prabhupada also and although these devotees were much younger than Prabhupada, but he called them as your grihasthas are like I'm like your child, you're caring for us. So Prabhupada's already almost 80, so Prabhupada, he was saying that we would develop Mayapur. We should, that's especially in the future for grihasthas to live. And he said that because Mayapur is very merciful, doesn't take offenses, so it's better for the renounced people to live in Vrindavan, and the grihasthas, and they could live in Mayapur more of that. We're no harm for renounced to live in Mayapur, but especially grihasthas is more appropriate. Then, so right now we have about 1,000 devotees in Mayapur, maybe about 200 children, maybe 1,300 actually, then about 500 grihasthas, maybe 600 brahmacharis. Right now they're they're selling some plots to anybody who wants to build a house. They're selling some plots. Also flats. Mayapur, ISKCON has some land, but some of the other trusts have land, but we cannot develop right now. It's all tied up. And the sister trusts are not able to develop because it's under some big litigation. But some grihasthas have their own land, and so they bought some land, and they're not under any litigation, so they're selling. Small plots, and people are building houses. We have a lot of devotees for expatriates in America. So many of them are building buildings in Mayapur. One important thing, of course, is that it's like we have to. One has a license that they can have children. They have a license for having relation with the husband and wife. But in order to balance with spiritual progress, then they're supposed to regulate themselves. And this is one aspect of the grihastha life. Highest standard is only to have relation for having children. That's considered as a devotional service. But if one's not able to come to that standard right away, gradually they can try Prabhupada said they shouldn't be discouraged because they're not able to come fully to that standard, but still they should regulate themselves. We want to develop a higher taste while at the same time, so we balance our material experiences with our devotional service. So this way one can be more secure in going back to Krishna whenever the call comes. So I was also supposed to give some time for question and answers. You get papers, you have the questions written, or are you going to speak them? Yesterday somebody gave me a paper, so it seems to be handing out papers. This is from Girija Mataji. Who's Girija? Sometimes apart from normal work schedule, we get involved in special occasions like marriage of a close relation, project, work deadline, preparation for festivals. At this time, our sadhana like chanting, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam reading is affected. How can we make good this lapse in sadhana? When I was building Mayapur project, Prabhupada had us work from 6 in the morning till 12 midnight. Double shift. But I had to be overseeing both the shifts. So there was no time to regularly go to Mangalarti. And so I don't know what to speak of, read books or things. So I asked Prabhupada, he said, well, at least you should try to do a Guru Puja every day and you should chant your japa. That offering our obeisances to the Guru is important. And at least try to chant. If sometime you fall behind in the chanting, you can carry it over, but it's not a very good habit because then you get more and more in debt.
So 2 hours, 15 minutes is required for chanting and Guru Puja.
Chanting maximum 2 hours.
Yeah. Guru Puja 10 to 15 minutes.
And usually after some time one can chant 6 minute rounds. Maybe the first year or two it may be 7 minutes, but after that it can be 6 minutes. When I was on the morning walk, the first in the half hour, I chanted 5 rounds. That's 6 minutes. If you really sit down and chant in front of your deities, very attentive, you can even do 5 minutes, but 6 minutes is not difficult. So how to make good like that? You may have what we call like emergency mode and then normal mode. So when you emergency is over, you want to go back to the normal mode, then you can do your reading and puja, more lengthy pujas and things. But chanting should somehow keep going. You start cutting down on chanting, then you start to lose the taste for the devotional service. And if you lose taste for devotional service, then after a while you won't want to do the service either. And then your taste for material things will increase. And then like that, the vicious circle. How many here are initiated? How many under shelter? How many aspiring? How many doing 16 rounds? Eight to 15 rounds. 4 to 7. 1 to 3. How many not chanting yet? We're gonna chant very soon.
Thank you.
Who are not chanting but gonna start chanting soon? Very nice. What's your name?
Basanti.
Basanti. You're eternally spring. Basanti is spring, right? If everyone can chant, see, even if you're not able to do 16 rounds is a crore in a year of Krishna's names. So 8 rounds would be half a crore, 4 rounds would be 25 lakhs. So it adds up, recurring deposits. Even 2 rounds is 1.25 million. Should be a millionaire in the holy names of Krishna.
In this age of Kali, is it necessary for every individual to pass through all these asanas one by one, or can a brahmachari jump directly to sannyasa? Is it recommended or is it not recommended? And this was one of the questions which was posed to us. We didn't have a proper understanding of this matter.
This was for grihasthas.
Right. So he did not want to go through the grihastha thing. He wanted to jump directly from...
Well, if when I joined, I was 19 years old. I was just out of university. And then the temple president was a grihastha. And his wife thought that it was good if everyone passed through this phase of grihastha. So she came and preached to me, a 19-year-old just out of university, and told me I should get married if I want to go back to Godhead. So I was a bit, you know, surprised. I hadn't thought about that so much. And then, so I went to ask Prabhupada, who was in Montreal at the time, that the temple president's wife saying I should get married. What should I do? He said, well, normal system is you wait till you're 25. Practice a brahmachari till you're 25. At that time, a brahmachari has an option that to decide whether he feels that he can remain a celibate for his whole life, or whether he feels that he should rather be a grihastha. And ideally between the age of 25 and 30, they have to make this decision. And so most people get married. But there is the option that someone could decide to remain a brahmachari for their whole life. We've had a number of casualties where people from brahmachari went to sannyas rather abruptly, and then later they found that they weren't able, because it's very difficult in Kali Yuga, it's actually restricted that you shouldn't be a sannyasi. For devotional service, in some rare cases you could be, but so now you put all kinds of strictures that if you want to be a sannyasi ISKCON, you have to go on a waiting list. And depending on how old you are, the waiting list may be 5 years or 10 years. Okay. Or if you're like very old, 60 years old, or so, then it could be 2 years. But then your wife, if you're grihastha, your wife should agree that it has her blessings that you take sannyas. Like there's all kinds of it. Because we've faced difficulty where someone took sannyas and then the wife wasn't happy about it, and then the wife unhappiness was a social problem for us, and or maybe the husband went back to take care of his family. So then better he hadn't taken sannyas at all than and taken vows and then gone against it. So we're very conservative about giving sannyas, unless the wife agrees, unless many kind of stipulations. In one case, the wife died of cancer. So then the husband was already over 50, so he thought he'd take sannyas, but he really wasn't mentally prepared. It was more like it requires some time to. Being a grihastha is one mode of life, and being a sannyasi or brahmachari is another mode. If somebody's going to work outside, like Lord Chaitanya, he was a school teacher. He was a professor for his own toll. His father died. He was maintaining his mother. So he said, I'm living like a grihastha. I'm living in the house, I'm working, I'm maintaining a household, but I'm not married. So if I'm going to be living like a grihastha, then I might as well do all the duties and also have a wife. So like some people, they're working, they're maintaining their families, I don't want to be married, but they're not living like, then they should live in an ashram. Like in Chaupati, they have a system that if somebody wants to be a brahmachari, they say, go work outside for 6 months, like 1 year. See what the work is like. Then if you still think that you want to come and be a brahmachari, then come, it's okay. But they want people not to just do things like abruptly. They should experience life a little bit. Then if they want to remain a brahmachari, then it's... So maybe they have about 3,000-4,000 devotees in Chaupati, and there may be 50 or 60 brahmacharis. So... if somebody's doubtful, once they ask for what, if he's thinking, I don't know what I should do, should I be a brahmachari or should I get married? Then Prabhupada said, if someone's thinking like that, they should get married. Yeah, if you're having a doubt, then. Because it's, all the people who want to be a lifelong brahmachari say, they should be so much already, almost very much committed to that. And even then, we don't know, you know, that's... after some time, they may also change their mind. But if they're not also even committed from the beginning, they don't to be or not to be, then most likely they won't make it. But I was also reading, it's like, in this book called Sanskara Dipika by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He's the son of the head priest of Sri Rangam Temple, and who became one of the six Goswamis. So he helped to write this, or he wrote the samskaras, all our annaprasana, this vidyaramba, everything. He's the one who wrote this book. So he put the first part and then the actual rituals. So in the first part, he wrote things like the proper way to do a srad. That some people, they serve non-veg in their srad. Maybe the deceased relative was a non-veg. So I think we should give him whatever he liked. If he liked to eat fish, we should give him a nice fish dinner or meat dinner. I said by doing that, they're actually sending him sin, and they're sending him into hell. Or worse hell than whatever he's in. The idea is that the sradhyas offer him prasadam, so that you free him from any of the bad karmas or bad habits that he had. He's very nice. So in the one part of that, he says that he describes the different ashrams. So he says the grihastha ashram is the responsible ashram. So sometimes that's also good for the brahmacharis to go through. Brahmachari is a very free ashram. They don't have, they're just studying or they're doing some seva, but they're not necessarily, they don't have any big responsibility. But as soon as you get married, like even one of my grihastha couples told me, we didn't know what samarpanam, what surrender was till we had our first child. We have to surrender to the child. Because whenever the baby is crying, you can't say, wait now, you can put your phone in silent mode, but so you have to feed, you have to take care, you have to change the diaper, whatever it is, you have to do all the things. So it's a new level of responsibility. So he has so many types of responsibility for the wife to serve the husband to take care of the wife, the children, the work, the social, like this question. You have also your parents, the parents-in-law, the sisters-in-law, and this one, that one, so many different. So there's a lot of responsibilities as a grihastha. So that's also a good training. If somebody is, like in our temples, of course, our brahmacharis also take responsibility for Krishna. That's why some people thought that when we came to the temple, we became a sadhu, we can just relax and, you know, eat our meals. But in ISKCON, it's not like that. Everybody has to do some seva.
Hard work.
A lot of hard work. So they were surprised. They said, I thought it was going to be a free life. I'm going to just like lifelong vacation or something. So.
And then you need no leave at all, 365 days.
Yeah, I'm on leave now. With all of you.
We're on duty.
My leave is my duty. My duty is my leave. Nobody has. What happened to all those slips you had yesterday? I saw the slips.
We have circulated.
Nobody filled them out.
Nobody.
Oh, okay. So we had, okay, we'll take one more for the man, and from the women we'll go back and forth.
Brahmanas, some people have a misconception about the overall congregation program happens. We are not perfect, we are trying to come to the professional level, but we do offenses, we don't follow certain rules and all. But by their seeing some people, they feel that it is asasanga, not asasanga. So how to convince them? Because we are trying to do something, but we are not perfect. So they take that as a wrong thing and they're going away. How to convince them and bring back to
Lord Chaitanya says, Asatsanga tag, a Vaishnava char, Akha sadhu, Krishna bhakta, Stri sangi are. There are two kinds of asadhus. One is the non devotee. A devotee is doing a service, he may make some mistake, that's not the big disqualification. But even someone who's a non-devotee does something very expertly, but he will be an asatsang. Because ultimately, what's his motive? Maybe he wants to just get name and fame, or some material thing. Who knows what his motive is? Or when he comes to talking about Krishna, he says something very offensive to Krishna. And then there's some kind of people who just talk about the opposite sex, or just talk about women, like there's people that put those kind of half-naked pictures of women on the wall, and they just talk about them as objects of enjoyment. They're not in grihastha mode, they're in a grihamedi mode. Those are the other kind of asatsangas that Lord Chaitanya said we should avoid. We want to respect ladies, respect women, protect them, have a higher vision. This is appreciated in Indian culture. In the West, it's not so much appreciated, but now more and more people are appreciating it. So some congregational program where maybe the program went a little late, or when they served out prasad, I don't know what kind of mistake they made. That we should always try to improve and do things better, but that's not an asatsang. There may just be a little space out, that's all. But obviously, if you shout at somebody, or if you act very rudely. I remember once there was somebody that came and then they didn't come anymore, and then Prabhupada was like almost crying that Krishna sent this person to us and we had an opportunity to help them to be devotees and somehow we failed. And now the person's not coming anymore, so... But as far as congregational program, also once there was a lady told me that she was driving in her motorcycle to the, or scooter or whatever, to the program, and she got into an accident and she was in the hospital, but nobody from the Namhata phoned her up. Nobody came to see her in the hospital. But there was other preachers from, say, Christians, and they were going and said, can we pray for you to Lord Jesus? So she stayed faithful to her Krishna consciousness, but she wondered, why was it that no devotees came? It was really, it tested me. So we discussed this, that we're actually devotees, we should also be personal. Prabhupada said we're a personalist, hyper-personalist. So you got these hypermarkets. So we're hyper-personalists. Someone told me that recently I was in Malaysia, the ambassador of Venezuela went to see the Consul General of Ecuador, went to see the Consul General of Peru. Politically, Peru and Ecuador always have some problems. But as diplomats, they have their own camaraderie, brotherhood. So when his person was sick, then he would go there every day and visit him in the hospital. Even though maybe politically their countries are not at the best. But still, so, I mean, even amongst material people, they follow this kind of personal relationships, trying to be nice. What to speak of devotees? How many devotees are there in the world? How many people are serving Krishna, serving God, serving Bhagavan? Last night I showed two times I went myself to the hospital. You weren't there. This time, just now, when I was in Malaysia, I don't know Malaysia, I'm there more time, but in Malaysia there was one disciple who got in a motorcycle, a very severe motorcycle accident, actually lost his two legs. They burnt. So this is very discouraging. So I went at 1 in the morning, at 12 o'clock in the night, with his wife. He got a special permission and went to see him. Of course, sometimes it's hard to encourage people when they suffer such a severe. But, of course, when he actually saw his situation, it's amazing he's alive. He was always praying he wanted more time to read. I hope that wasn't the reason why. So we tried to go to encourage him, and he felt encouraged that I went to see him. And then another lady, disciple, her intestine is become very small at the mouth, so it's not clearing properly, and they may have to operate. So she was also in the hospital, and so I went to see her also.
Malaysia.
Yeah, two different places in Malaysia.
Study the hospice for the cancer and terminal patients. Early photo of Nasir.
Yes, when I was in Mayapur, also one of my godbrothers, Nirguna Prabhu, he had cancer which was a tumor in his spine. So it's wrapped around his spine and going into his lungs. So because of the position, they couldn't operate. Because if they try to cut out from the spine, maybe he'll be paralyzed. So he was trying to get cured by different things, and then at one point he said, actually I realize I'm not going to live. Then he became very peaceful. So he came for the Radhastami, and they lifted him up and he did Abhishek of Radharani. So I went to see him a couple times. So I said that the day that he left, he woke up 7 in the morning and he was chanting for 3 hours, lying in his bed chanting and smiling. Then around 10, 11 in the morning, he had a smile on his face and he left. So how many people leave the world smiling? Must be, yes. When Buddha is come, you're not going to smile. Of course, some lady went to Vrindavan, she had cancer, and she took Charanamrita every day and she got cured. So it works, you never know, it works both ways.